I'd like to thank each one of you for coming out this evening to hear the message that your pastor has prepared for you. I know that he has sought the Lord. I know that he has a love for each one of you here. Even his brother, after all these years, he has a love for him too. I know that his desire that each one of us will be brought closer to the Lord because of that message. So let's give him our attention and our prayers and our smiles. Pastor Steve McGee.
Good to stand before you. Is that on? This evening. Went this after, well, just before I came here, I went to administer to Rollin, and he's doing great. I mean, he's really doing great. He's got this incision, looks like a little happy smile right here on his neck, and he's having a little trouble with where they put the tube down, a little bit of pain, but other than that, he said he has been really blessed. And he looked very good, very good. I appreciated that's not adequate. I was very taken this morning, I shouldn't act surprised, by my brother. With the message that he delivered. You know, we know Bob real well. He is, he's been blessed with many, many talents. A lot more than most of us. And he's a great salesman. And he can talk to anybody, usually does. And he's been blessed in his ministry. And I appreciated the message. I appreciated greatly the message, but even more so the spirit in which it was delivered. He didn't try to sell me this morning. He preached to me. And I love that. I love that when I am preached to because I need it. Usually we stand up here in the evening and we say we're preaching to the choir, and we are, and that's exactly who I want to talk to tonight. I want to talk to each one of you this evening. And I don't know how my brothers go about preparing for a sermon, and I don't get ready the same way. Sometimes there's been things on my mind for a period of time that I know I should preach about. Other times I sit down and I work and I study and I pray. And other times I open my scriptures and I start reading. And that's what I did this time. And things come to me when I do that. And what worries me, you know, I wonder because they jump right out at me on these scriptures, and it worries me because I wonder myself, I'm just now getting this. This group I'm preaching to, they've probably known this for years. So this may be the case. But I hope not. Well, no, I kind of hope. I hope it is. I hope it is. I'm going to start reading from the 12th chapter of John. Those of you who have your Bibles, if you need a Bible, holler at me and I'll run some. I've only got two scriptures, short scriptures. Both of them are out of the Bible. And that's what I'm going to start from this evening. And I'm going to start with the 20th verse of the 12th chapter of John and read. And tell you some things that I just didn't realize till I started reading this. You know, we studied John and in my Sunday school class several months, quite a few months ago now. And you know, I read right through this. I'm the teacher. I'm supposed to understand this stuff. And you know, I skipped right over this. Didn't understand it. We read right through it. Missed all kinds of stuff. And I apologize for that. But I'd like to start with the 20th verse. And it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." Now, "them" is a group of people that were following after Christ and his disciples. And they were following because he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. That's the only reason they were following Christ and these disciples. They were saw that miracle, witnessed that miracle, knew that Lazarus was dead, and so they were following him. And among them, there were Greeks. "And the same, those them, they came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.' And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again, Andrew and Philip, they tell Jesus. So you get the picture, they come to Philip and say, "Hey, we want to see this guy who does miracles." And Philip, probably like me, you know, he didn't go straight to, he finds somebody to go with him for a little support, goes and finds Andrew, and they both go to Jesus and tell him that these people want to see. Now, this is what I never understood this. This next verse, "And Jesus answered them, saying," okay, they said, "Jesus, these people want to see you." And Jesus says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." You know, in times past, I've what kind of answer is that? You know, what is he telling Philip and Andrew? What is this? You know, what kind of answer? They're looking for, okay, bring them on or send them away, whatever. And he says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And you know, I've read that, and you no doubt have read that. And I always thought, and it does, it signifies Christ and his dying, and which has to take place, that it might grow. But it signifies a lot more than that. And we know that through the next verse. He says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And you know, I always read that. I always thought, absolutely, if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord and you follow him and you serve him, you're going to end up where he is. But I don't think that's what he means here. He's saying, where I am right now, what I am doing right now, where I am, there shall my servant also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor. He's talking to you and I. He's talking to you and I. This is why, this is the answer. This is why he gave this particular answer. These people were looking for a miracle. They were looking for another miracle. It has nothing to do with miracles. The Lord is telling him it has nothing to do with miracles, not a thing to do with miracles. Where I am, what I am doing now, if you're my servant, you will be doing that now. And my Father in heaven will be honored. And he goes on. I love this next verse. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? He's not talking about himself. He's giving a message to you and I. Now is my soul troubled. I am going to die. It's in his, he knows. He knows what's going to happen. And he says, it's troubled. And what shall I say? What am I going to say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I into this hour. He's saying the same thing to you. In this work, as followers of Jesus Christ, is your heart troubled? Are you scared? Are you scared with the work that you know you should be doing? Is it overwhelming or frightening? What's that question? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Lord, take me from this work? Before this cause came I into this hour. For this cause he chose you. He chose you for this hour and this short time of space you have upon this earth. You were chosen. Yes, you are the choir, and I am preaching to you this evening. You were chosen for this hour. And yes, did I want to ever in my whole entire life be a preacher? Absolutely no way. I would rather have my thumbnails pulled out than do this at one time. Just like Christ. Then came there a voice, 28. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. Is he talking about Christ? Yes. Is he talking about you? Yes, because of your works? Absolutely. Christ was leaving. He knew he was leaving. He will be glorified. Father in heaven will be glorified because of Jesus Christ. And he says, I will be glorified again because of my followers. Now, are we up for the task? Because he's talking to them. There was a voice, okay, and it came from heaven. And the people heard it. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it, said that it thundered. Another said, an angel spake to them. These are the same people that were looking for miracles. And both Jesus and his Father in heaven were telling them the truth and telling them what they were looking for. He's telling us what we need to be doing. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. I know that it's meant for you and I. That voice came to those people for their sakes, that they might do those things, that they might lose their life. Was it our brother that talked about mortifying? Did you talk about mortifying this? Mortifying your bodies? That's exactly what this, when he says lose your life, Lose your life. That's what he's talking about. The exact same thing. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He turned it over. He turned it over to someone. And anyone that will listen, that will hear, and will answer. 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, you know, you may not understand what lifted. That means crucified. Okay? They knew what it meant. You know, for a long time, I didn't know what he meant. But they understood to be lifted up is to be crucified. And this he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And thou sayest the Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, those that would hear, we hear that will hear his word through his scriptures. He's talking to you and I. Yet a little while is the light with you. Now they perceived it to be Jesus Christ. But that's not the case with you and I. It's his spirit. Yet a little while is that spirit with you. You have this long, whatever your lifespan is, that spirit will be with you. That light. What's the next verse say? It says, walk while you have the light. Whoa. That may be the heaviest thing that I say this evening. Walk while you have that spirit. Walk while you have the spirit of truth with you. Because if you don't, you're not going to have the light. You're not going to have the spirit. I know that that's true. How do I know? Because it says so. The very next statement. Lest darkness come upon you. If you don't walk, if you don't do something with the spirit that we say and we have, then it's going to be taken away unless we are active. That's why I say I need to preach to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir because I know I look out here and I see people that have the Spirit with them. And this is who he is talking to. Not necessarily right then. Well, he is his servants. But us, right here. He says, walk while you have the light. Walk while you have my spirit with you, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now, I don't know what your definition of walk is. I don't know what you... I used to think that's somebody's going real slow. Now I've gotten older, I think that's somebody's going right along. And that's what he means. That's what he's talking about, is doing what is expected of you with this spirit that we've been given, that we've been gifted with, that we've received, that we, I'm going to say, claim to have. No, we have it in our midst. But the condemning statement or the worrisome statement is that walk while you have it, or you're going to receive darkness. It's going to be taken away. Verse 36, while ye have the light, believe in the light. Oh. While you have the light, believe in the light. Believe in that spirit that you've received. Trust in that spirit in which you've received, that ye may be the children of light. So, he didn't answer these people, did he? Yes, he did. But they didn't know it. They were looking for something else. And I have no doubt that in congregations, and I was going to say quite possibly, I am sure that in this congregation, we have people just like these Greeks that are looking for miracles. And yeah, I love the miracles because I've been a recipient of the miracles and the healings. But that those healings aren't going to get me into heaven. They're just going to make me feel better right now. And if that's what I'm after, come up short. Not come up short. Not even going to be in the same ballpark. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, when he saw the Lord. He knew what was going to happen. He was looking when the Lord came. He was looking to right now, to you and I. And if we're looking for what it's in it for us, whether that be miracles or a feel good mission, we're missing the mark. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, first 14 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I have, it's really crazy. This is my old Bible, okay? When I was reading for this, I couldn't find my new Bible. And so I sat down and I read and I prepared and I looked at this, and then I found my new Bible here and I took it home and I opened it up this afternoon and went over it. And guess what? I know they were the same words, but they didn't read the same. I don't know. I don't understand. You know, I read it from this scripture. And it touched me from this scripture. And when I opened up my new Bible and went over the same text, I was tongue-tied. And I couldn't. I don't know why. Now, someone who has a psychological background maybe can tell me how that works. But it didn't work. I tell you of a truth, it didn't work. So this is my old Bible, and the print's small. That's one of the reasons I'm reading poorly. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it didn't say seek, you know. It says walk. Actually doing something. I look back at my, I don't like to pat people on the back, but I look back and I see my brother Darren smiling, and how can I say this? He walks after the Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind, and I'm not going to pat you on the back, but he does. And I believe it's important for us to gauge ourselves, to look at ourselves, let me read on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, or for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's your calling, that righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in you that are out here listening to this sermon. Think about that. Think about that. That is how we glorify our Father in heaven. That is how that law might be fulfilled in us, because we are not living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, doing something. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What did it say in 4? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'll read 10. I don't know what. Did I already read 10? I get carried away. I'm going to read it again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken you. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Make you alive. Make you vibrant. Make you a worker. Isn't that true? Isn't that what quicken means? Therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Nobody here does that. Nobody that I see does that. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And to be led is to just not sit back and let that Spirit come upon you and say, this is great. Isn't this great? It's to do something. To work. As I said before, we need to gauge ourselves, to examine ourselves. And as I said before, miracles are a part of being in this body of Christ. But they're a part. But is that why I'm here? Is that why you're here? If you look at your scriptures, okay? If you look at the scriptures and people that you look up to in the scriptures, you look at Paul, you look at Peter, you look at Nephi, you look at the sons of Mosiah, were their lives not quickened by the Spirit? What happened in each one of their lives after they were quickened by the Spirit? They walked, didn't they? They literally ran for the Lord. Was it easy? Was it easy? Didn't at times, I have no doubt that in times all of these brothers and all of my brothers here that go out into foreign countries, they have the same thought that Christ and their soul is troubled and they are scared and they are worried. Isn't that true? And what did they say? What shall they say? What will you say? Father, save me. Take this away. That's not what the scriptures say. Not in that 12th chapter of John. But for this cause I came into this hour. That is exactly the way you need to look at your life after you have received Jesus Christ in your heart, and I'm not afraid to say that, and His Spirit in your heart. For this cause you were called into this hour. For this lifespan, for this time, you were called. Where I am, there shall my servant be also. What I do, that is what my servant will be doing also. And I'm not looking at Bob, and I'm not looking at Buzz, and I'm not looking at Mike. I'm looking at Ammon, and I'm looking at Michelle, and I'm looking at Pat, and I'm looking at every one of you out there that have received of His Spirit. They were busy. Gauge. I'm going to leave you with an admonition. And I want you to think about this seriously. It's out of the 35th verse in John. It says, yet a little while is the light walk with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I don't know whether I'm going to be here next week. You don't know whether you're going to be here next week. But there is a time allotted, and I've been called, and I've been given something that the world is looking for. And that's the truth and His Spirit within me for a purpose. This is my hour, and this is your hour. And we need to look not look at it that is the way it is. That is the way it is. I want to thank you for your time and your attention. If you were quiet, I'll give you an A+ as a class. Thank you.